Grace to you in peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us this parable of the Great Supper because of something that one of his fellow dinner guests had said. Jesus had been invited to the home of a Pharisee for supper. And there were a number of distinguished individuals at the table with Jesus. And one of them turns to Jesus and says this, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now that is surely a true statement. Blessed is the one who has a place prepared for him at the supper of the Lamb, the heavenly banquet and feast. That person is a blessed person. So this man, whatever he may have thought of Jesus personally, he at least said something that was true. He is surely blessed who is going to eat bread in the kingdom of God. So Jesus, when he gives this parable, he is responding to this man's statement. And on the one hand, he is affirming it, and on the other hand, he is saying, but who is it who will be there, and who is it that won't be there? All right. Let's first look at how Jesus affirms the man's statement. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Jesus describes heaven with these words. A certain man gave a great supper and bade many. Right? What is this talking about? This is the fact that before the foundations of the world, the Holy Trinity decreed and planned the salvation of every sinner through the coming of the Son of God into the world to be the Redeemer of sinful mankind. Before the foundation of the world, before anyone had fallen into sin, God had already decreed and planned the salvation of sinners. All right, that's the first part. The second part is this. Throughout the entire Old Testament period of time, from the creation of the world all the way through to the book of Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament, God had been unfolding and revealing and promising the coming of the kingdom of God to the earth. That God himself would come to us and that he would do away with all sin, with death, and with everything that hinders the glory of God, and that we will be exalted in his wonderful gift. This is the message of the Old Testament. Right? The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Wait for him and do not lose heart. Then, after many years, as St. Paul says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Right? That's a wonderful word, because what it says to us What God decreed, what He planned, what He announced and promised, He has brought to fulfillment in the sending of Jesus into the world. And so the Great Supper is the coming of Christ with redemption, forgiveness, life, and salvation for everyone who hears the gospel and believes it. Alright? So the Great Supper is what we often call the kingdom of grace. The Great Supper is the salvation which we are taught and which we are promised and which we are given in the good news of Jesus Christ. And to believe in Jesus Christ according to the Word is to sup with Him. It is to be included in the number of the blessed who eat bread in the kingdom of God. All right, so the text goes on. That's what the supper is. He says, and He sent His servant at supper time, right, to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Right? Now, some scholars think that the servant here is John the Baptist, whom God sent as a forerunner to get people ready for Christ. But most of the scholars that I really trust and that I have found to be the most satisfying and the most scriptural, they all say that the servant is Jesus Himself. Alright? The servant is Jesus Himself. Come, for all things are now ready. That sums up the earthly ministry of Jesus. All of His teaching and all of His miracles were Him, the Son of God, come into the world saying to every sinner, come, for all things are now ready. And then, when He died upon the cross, His last words were, it is finished. The supper is ready. Everything has been done. When we believe in Jesus, we receive the completed work of our redemption. It is all done. It's all accomplished. And when we believe the gospel, He delivers it to us. And we enjoy it. Right? We experience it. That's what faith does. All right. So, that's good news so far. You see, what Jesus is doing is He's affirming what this dinner guest had said. Yes, indeed, blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. What else is encouraging about this? Well, when we move down the line, it says that when the Lord was angry at the people who made excuses, He tells His servant to go out into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant says, it is done as you have commanded. And there's still room. And He says, then get out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Be insistent, right, that My house may be filled. Now, what does this tell us? Number one, it tells us that God is determined to fill His house with people celebrating at the Great Supper. God is determined that His house will be filled and that people will celebrate with Him. Right? Who is it that does the celebrating? It is the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. What does this mean? Well, this is kind of Jesus terminology to describe those who know that they have nothing to offer God. They must be recipients of God's offering something to them. All right, this we sing in the song, was it Rock of Ages? Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Right? That's what Jesus means here when he says, bring in the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. Right? Listen, poor people are just as sinful as rich people. You know, we like to think, especially, you know, if we're Democrats, we like to think that all rich people are evil, and that all poor people are really good. You know, it's hogwash. You know, it's like the feminists who say that women are good and men are bad. You know, anytime people talk about that, where they make distinctions between human beings based on some unimportant criteria, it's a lie. Because every single one of us, rich or poor, male or female, we are all sold in sin and on our way to eternal damnation. And if it is not for the gift and grace of God in Christ Jesus, we would all be forever lost. Because in God's eyes, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So therefore, when Jesus tells us that it is the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, Jesus is not being a liberal. He's not being a progressive. Right? What he's saying is, those who enjoy the banquet in the kingdom of heaven are those who never dreamed that they would ever have such a wonderful thing. Those who never dreamed that they deserved such a thing. Those who can't do anything to help themselves even if they wanted to. Those who rely totally upon the grace of God. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. You see, that's what Jesus is saying here. Now, this is wonderful news for us, because by the grace of God and the mercy of God in Christ, the gospel has come to us. And we have come to trust in it. And in that trust, we do not promote ourselves before God, but we rejoice in God's gift and magnanimity. And we rejoice that a sinner such as I can be received by God into the joyful life of the heavenly supper of the Lamb. And so today, we are encouraged when we see who it is, because we must admit to ourselves that we often don't come off looking so good. But that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our brokenness, all of our weakness, all of our failings, He receives us, forgives us, renews us, restores us, and fills us with the hope of the glory of God. This is what the gospel is all about. All right. Now, who misses out on this? All right, we can't stop the sermon before we mention Who doesn't get in? Right? And it says, they all those who were initially invited, they all begin to make excuses. One guy, he's just bought a piece of property and he has to go and see that he didn't get cheated. And another person has just bought 5 yoke of oxen. He just bought a new tractor. All right? He's got to make sure that the gears work. All right? So he's got to prove his oxen. He's got to make sure the tractor works. And the third guy, he doesn't even ask to be excused. I just got married. Leave me alone. Right? And so all of these people, they represent those whose hearts are anchored in the things of this world, and even though they make a profession of faith in the Word of God, even though they want to be known as pious and godly, when it comes down to brass tacks, their loyalties, their treasure, and their highest good is not in the kingdom of God, not in the salvation of God, but it is in the things of this world. Possessions, goods, advantages, and earthly blessings. And their hearts are so anchored to these things that when they receive them, Jesus often says, they have their reward. You read the parables of Jesus, and very frequently you hear Jesus saying that. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And what does he mean by that? He means that it was money, power, possessions, and pleasures that they were seeking. And they got them, and that's all they will get. All right, that's what Jesus means. They have their reward. They were not seeking a heavenly reward. They were seeking only the things of this world and the advantages of this world. Their hearts were not in heaven where their true treasure is. Their hearts were on earth because their treasure is in earth. They got their treasure and that's all they got. And so in the final words of our parable today, none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, in the days of Jesus, this included many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the other Jews who did not believe in Jesus but opposed him in his ministry. Right? In our day, it includes everyone, both those who have never come to faith but have heard the gospel, and those who were once enlightened, who were once professing Christians, but because of the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, they have fallen away from the Word of God, fallen away from the Church of God, broken their confirmation vows made before God and in the presence of witnesses, and they have made themselves to be lost and condemned. Not because God didn't make a supper, not because He didn't invite them, not because God would not receive them in repentance, but because they would not. They heard the word and they despised it, turned away from it, fell from it, and will stand before God in their lost condition and rue the day that they first entertained the idea of backsliding. All right? But let's not leave it there. Let's go back and finish by reminding ourselves that there is a kingdom of grace and that it is people who are not promoting themselves and thinking of themselves as worthy, but those precisely who know that they are sinners, but who trust in the goodness of Christ and believe the gospel, they are received into the embrace of God, and they are the ones who enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God, the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. Amen.